Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Okay. So tonight we're going to be talking about fire, not just as a flame or a campfire or a forest fire, but we're going to be talking about fire in its elemental form. The elemental itself, developing a relationship with elemental fire, and what that means when we're casting the quarters, when we're casting the circle and we're calling the quarters and we're inviting this energy into the circle. What are we actually talking about? You know, I mean, it's certainly not just, you know, a flame. And I'm not a big proponent, as many of you know, I'm not a big proponent of the idea that we need to call anything to guard or protect us or watchtowers or any of that stuff. I believe that we work with these energies, and we're calling that energy and the elemental into our circle to be a part of what we're doing. Not to keep things out. You know, because, you know, the first of all, I don't, you know, generally feel like there's a whole lot, you know, trying to attack me. And second of all, I just think that the circle is going to do just fine for keeping things where they're supposed to be. So when I invite something to come in, I'm actually inviting it in. And let's play. Let's have a party. Let's all be involved here. Robin, what are your thoughts?
Well, fire is something I've always been very drawn to. One of my earliest memories of fire is being at this summer camp, and they had this huge fireplace in this lodge, and you could actually sit up inside the fireplace if you were careful and sit there and watch the fire. And I used to do that all the time and spent hours and hours and hours sitting there looking into the flames. That summer, I remember I was probably 10 or 11, and I remember clearly just having this sense that the fire was alive, and it was trying to communicate with me, and that I could sort of see the patterns in the fire. Fire has been used for so many different magical and human things. I mean, just at its very core, why is it that if you light a fire, people are drawn to it? And, you know, it's not just about it's warm by the fire, which is obviously part of it, but there's something mysterious and wonderful and beautiful about fire that instantly just draws humans to it, that we want to watch it. We want to be near it. There's an energy there. We can feel...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We can feel the fire drawing its energy from the fuel in the fire, the wood or whatever we're burning, and that there's a combustion there, and we actually are sensitive to it. We can sense it and feel it, and you know, it's that combustion, honestly, and you and I just had this conversation, that creates all of the energy one way or another that we use, whether it's electricity or you know, a wood stove to heat the house, or it is, you know, it all starts in some form of combustion, which needs fire. You run your car, and it's a combustion engine, fire in your engine. I know it sounds dangerous, but there's little itty-bitty combustions going on in your engine. That's how it works. Everything is driven. Everything is energized. Everything is propelled with fire, combustion of one sort or another.
Even our bodies.
Even our bodies. That's right. So this is so essential to every aspect of our lives, and we recognize it when we see a fire, and we're drawn to it. We're drawn to that combustive energy.
Well, I want to also say that I think that there is you know, something anthropological as well,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps even a you know, a human memory, back to back to our very beginnings, where fire was safety, fire was home, fire was protective. Within the light of the fire, first of all, there's light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. The animals that want to, make us dinner instead of be dinner, would, not come near the fire. So the fire was a safe place to gather for protection, for home, for food, for everything. The goddesses of the hearth are not, it's not by accident that the hearth is the center of the home. So fire being that homey center of life doesn't extend just to a campfire, which it's still a great place to gather, and it will, like Robin said, it will pull people in. You got a campfire going. I mean, when I'm burning trash and burning not trash, I mean I do that in a barrel. But when I'm burning brush and stuff in the fire pit, people will come around just to, it seems to draw people and the kids and neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Just burning brush will bring people around. So, Robin's absolutely correct about how it draws us. I find the homey, harsh, protection kind of aspect of that draw to be, in my opinion, why we are drawn.
Yeah, could be. I won't argue with you. The only thing about that, and as you were speaking, I was thinking about this, that fire and man's ability to create and control fire at will is a fairly recent development in our evolutionary history. As far as and we talked about this recently too with cooking food. We've really only been cooking food for a very short time in the way that we think of cooking food. And even going back, probably when man lived in caves, it was a big thing to have fire and keep fire going. And your life really, in a lot of ways, depended on keeping that fire. If your fire went out, you had to go get new fire, because you couldn't make fire. You didn't have matches. They didn't even have the ability to strike stones yet and flint and pyrite and make sparks to create a fire. They didn't know how to do that. They had to search fire out. It was another thing they had to hunt for. So if their fire went out, the whole cave of people could die. Or a whole village or however
fire,
they were gathering.
And fire is also attributed with the cooking meat releases within that meat proteins that have allowed us to develop more cognitive skills and more brain power. So while I know you talk about raw food a lot, there is something in cooked meat that does fuel us and allow the brain to grow and stimulates, the synaptic functions of our brain in a way that has allowed us to move from searching out fire to controlling fire to, building internal combustion engines and everything we've done.
Yeah.
All goes back to our ability to cook meat.
Mm-hmm. But one of the other things that struck me when you were talking about fire is that if we've only had the ability to control fire for a finite amount of time that we can actually measure and say, okay, it goes back to here, all right, then the gods and goddesses that are associated with the hearth and the fire obviously could only have had that attribute from the point forward of us being able to control fire. Unless, of course, we took an existing god or goddess and gave them that attribute once it became known. So fire.
We've also got. Go ahead.
I was going to say so fire, because it was so integral and important, and it so changed. It was like, you know, it was like a new technology, right? Being able to make your own fire, probably one of the major leaps forward in our, you know, if you view it from a technological standpoint, that was really the big first invention, was being able to create fire. So the gods that was attributed to must have been considered extremely powerful in their day.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, all of the stories that we really have of, you know, of the gods and goddesses all come from a time period after we, you know, quit beating the ground with sticks and started, you know, lashing the sticks together or rubbing the sticks together to make fire. So while it's interesting and a wonderful, wonderful thought process to wonder what the gods were before writing and before communication. You know, what did early man think of, you know, when fire came down from the sky and, you know, when a bolt of lightning, you know, struck a tree and gave them fire and, mm-hmm. you know, the tribe was saved.
It was considered a huge boon in it. And, you know, a message, or they probably attributed all sorts of things to it.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've discussed previously on some of these shows, all the elements, basically, without them, we cannot live. So fire, you can look at some of the gods and goddesses that are associated with fire and know that they probably all evolved as, I don't want to say different facets of a way to express an attribute of fire, but they were connected to fire for a reason. And if we really, you know, some wonderful geeky witch out there wants to do research about about what it is exactly that made people associate fire with a specific god or goddess. So that would be interesting. I would be interested in reading that.
It would, but, you know, I find that, you know, by the time stories got passed along, you know, we had already developed, I mean, there had to be a hearth for there to be a goddess of the hearth.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, so you're absolutely right that, you know, before the Great Migration, so I was just thinking about the Celtic gods, you know, the two Hadadan. And you know, by the time they came into Ireland before, you know, the people came to Ireland before the Vikings, that you know, kind of transplanted the Picts, those people brought technology with them. The hearth and our ability to control fire was centuries, maybe millennia old by then. So, you know, all of these stories that we have end at a certain point in prehistory, and fire was already being controlled. So what was it before? That's the interesting part. How far back can we go?
Mm-hmm.
With the stories, because by the time the stories were told, we'd already had, you know, centuries or even 1,000 years or more of
mm-hmm.
controlling fire.
Right.
So we really don't know. It's all speculation. It's all.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it's you know, useless speculation. I'm saying it's a wonderful thought process
mm-hmm.
to try to imagine ourselves into that position and pull on that racial memory that is, I think, core to all of us, that goes into our very DNA there's kind of a memory of that time, and to get in touch with that primitive, I think is an interesting interesting way to spend a few minutes of speculative time.
Okay.
But right now, we've got the stories that come after. We've got the element of fire. All of the gods and goddesses associated with fire, with the sun, all kind of get their origins in that place and all have many attributes that are similar. But, I mean, you know, I've already mentioned the sun. You know, hot, dry places are automatically kind of associated with fire. In the northern hemisphere, because the sun travels across the southern sky, we tend to associate fire with the south. Whereas our brothers and sisters in the southern hemisphere see the sun moving across the northern sky, and they associate the sun with the north. So, you know, there's a lot of things, not just gods and goddesses, but a lot of aspects that we associate with these elements. And those associations become kind of keys, or they're used in our magic when we want to invoke the transformative energy, manifesting energy to create, and all that goes with it. That all comes from that fire energy, the passion, the need, the actual change, all comes with fire. And so we've got, you know, a lot of associations like that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
So
I was pausing for you to jump in.
Yeah, essentially the history of fire in many ways is also the history of our development, of our culture. And, you know, you can take it all the way back to, say, you know, the earliest settlements and cities that we can think of, you know, Mesopotamia and Babylon and Sumeria, and they had fire. But they treated fire very differently. I mean, it was one of those things that, you know, you showed how much money and how much wealth you had by how many torches you could have lit in your house, and whether or not you could afford candles at one point was also considered a show of you know, wealth once they discovered how to make candles. So, you know, to be able to travel with something you could light and not have to worry about lamp oil spilling or you know, having cotton or some other fiber that would burn as a wick. Candles were another technological leap forward. But to commune with the element of fire, you don't necessarily need to know all the history. It's just interesting to think about it in that way. What you need to do is you need to actually just do what we were talking about. Sit down, look at the flames, and speak to the fire from your heart and open your chakras and feel the being of fire as they can. And they will talk to you. I mean, fire will talk to you, and every fire is going to have its own personality. I've had some fires that were very sort of deep and dark, and I've had some fires that were energetic and happy, and I've had some fires that were sort of cautious and reticent. You know, so you can have lots of different kinds of energy come out of a fire, and the elemental beings are really sort of those wispy, sort of the wispy flames that sort of dance and talk to you, and they are instructive yet very elusive. But you can sit down and talk to them and bring them to you. So there's a difference between being able to manipulate fire and smoke from the fire and actually communicating with the element of fire. So I don't want it, I don't want that to be confused. Just about every witch worth their salt should be able to, you know, play with a candle flame or move smoke away from them if it's blowing in their direction. Pretty.
You know, generally, basic. That's working with air to get it to move the smoke, in my opinion.
Yes.
And, you know, I have had some amazing and wonderful experiences with fire as well. And the personality, now that you mention it, I haven't really thought about it. But the personality of your, that you're describing in some fires.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have even been playful.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that that's a lot of the my take on fire, on the fires around the property. Mm-hmm. When we're building a fire, when I've had campfires, have been kind of playful, at least with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And again, that may be my relationship with the fire, with
mm-hmm.
the element. We used to have, when I lived in Barbados, in the end of January, first part of February, we would collect all of the, you know, people's Christmas trees.
Uh-huh.
So you've got all of these Christmas trees, and we would take them and, you know, by the truckload down to the beach on the west coast, rather the east coast, I apologize, the east coast, which is windier, and made life a little more interesting with, you know, burning evergreen. But
mm-hmm.
we would dig a giant pit, and then we would get a bunch of people together and have a big bonfire, and we would feed trees periodically into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a picture somewhere, and I think I might even still have it on my computer, of one time I was throwing one of the trees on, and people say that the fire came up and grabbed it and wrapped around me, and it looked like arms giving me a hug, and then it pulled back. And nothing was burned, no singe. They said the fire just came up and gave you a hug, and then went back into the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And there are pictures of this fire kind of surrounding me. And, you know, I mean, I remember the moment, and I felt the warmth, but I didn't, you know, I never at any point, and it felt, you know, in danger. And we had these great experiences with these bonfires.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually came toward the wind, which is a little unusual. So, you know, I think of it as that moment, as it was, you know, fire connecting with me and saying hi, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Other people were freaked out. I was like, yeah, okay. Welcome to my world.
Well, yeah, there are lots of moments when you are in tune with fire where you will experience those sorts of things. It's just being able to recognize them and knowing that they are there for you and that you're supposed to take something away from them. Fires, you know, fire scrying, people who scry in fires, that's been forever. That probably goes back to the dawn of, you know, mankind being, you know, sentient, conscious beings. And the act of scrying, and then, you know, when fire came along, realizing that it was a really easy tool to scry in. I mean, scrying is seeing patterns and helping the patterns, having those patterns help you see, you know, the future or have messages come and about things that are going on in your life and what you should maybe or shouldn't do. So fire is in so many different aspects of our lives that We take it for granted because it is such an old technology when you think of it. We completely take it for granted. The act of striking a match to someone, you know, just a few hundred years ago, 500 years ago, would have seemed, you know, magic.
Magic.
Yeah. So it's
very
really
injured.
Very, yep, it's really very recent that we have the kind of control over fire that we do today.
I agree completely. Hey, we have had 30 minutes flyby.
Okay.
Would you believe it is already the bottom of the hour and ready for in time for
mm-hmm.
a break?
Yeah, I'd believe that.
That's flown by. So, let's see. Thursday night, we're going to be joined by Danny and Becca from Two Off a Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thought it would be kind of fun. We're going to be talking about Caldera Fest and the Green Album and such on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it would be kind of fun to play one of their songs tonight. So we're going to play Dance with a Halo by Two Off a Day. Just stick around for a little bit. We're going to play this and some commercials, and we'll be right back after this.
He's a miracle man. Now he's looking for love while he's selling the fame. But the money won't swallow what the money can't chase. And he knows he's got a long, long way to go. Got a hat full of God, says it's good for the head. And he once told the devil that you can't live on bread. Now he's spreading the word to the tune of a dance. Take him home.
Got a date with a halo.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Dé, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
Come join us on International Pagan Radio. We air great artists such as The Dea
and Shadows Grow Beneath the World.
Dragon's Head.
Some of them come in the lonely, some of them stay for a spell, some of them stay for a message from the Oracle in the Well.
Green Fortune.
I remember when I first walked in this garden. I, against my will.
David Wood. Rising.
Lose yourself in rhythm, lose yourself in time, caught up in the spiral,
and many, many more.
Following the music, following the beat, dancing with.
Like our page and join our group on Facebook. InternationalPaganRadio.com, where it's all pagan, all the time.
Listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and I'm joined by my partner, Robin, how are you, darling?
I am doing well. I made it back.
Oh. All right, and you are all listening to the Power Hours here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. So, Elemental Fire, we've got about 10 minutes here, and then we've got to start wrapping up. Let's talk about when you're calling fire into circle. And we talked about fire in general, but I mean, we also were talking about our components of ritual. So when we're calling fire, what do we need to be mindful of?
Well, you know, fire is all about new beginnings and change and the transformation of one thing to another. It can be good, it can be not so good, it can be chaotic, it can be ordered. It depends on, you know, your frame of mind when you're calling it. It can, it also, your relationship that you've developed with that elemental being. Because when you're standing in circle and you're calling the element, and again, this is something I say every single time we do one of these, it has gotten lost in translation somewhere that we're not actually just calling the essence of fire. We're calling the elemental being of fire to come and join us and be in our circle. And really, they're there to facilitate whatever working we're doing, whatever spell working we're doing, or whatever energy we're raising. They're really there to assist with that. And so when you're calling fire, you need to keep all those things in mind. We're not just calling in the essence of fire and saying, hey, bring us your transformative, powers or whatever. We're really calling on that being to be there and do those things and bring us those gifts and help us in whatever it is we're doing. So be mindful that when you're speaking to the element, that's who you're speaking to. There is an actual someone listening. There is a being, an elemental energy, listening and cooperating.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And again, though, the calling, I'm always disappointed at the idea of calling the watchtowers in general. But when you're calling the elements, I'm conscious that I'm calling the elemental beings. Typically with fire, it's, there's more of a relationship. I admit that. But I'm always calling the elemental being, whether it's a particular, I don't want to say manifestation, but I mean, there's more than one fire elemental,
Uh-huh.
And, so there's that relationship with that one that I recognize.
Uh-huh.
When I'm calling any of the elements, so I'm calling the elemental beings, spirits of fire, spirits of air, or whatever.
And
not
for
just
me,
the essence, but the entities
uh-huh.
themselves, spirits.
Right. And for me, those elemental beings are place related. They kind of come with the place that you're doing your ritual, the land, the beach, and the elemental of fire at the beach might be very different in their feeling and your relationship with them than the elemental of fire in the mountains or in the forest. So, you do have to develop a new relationship with that element every time you relocate or you in a totally different area. Now those elements will, the elemental beings will still, you'll never lose your relationship with, let's say, the elementals that you developed your relationship with at the beach, but it'll be more like a long distance friendship. And it's still on that same energy stream. It's kind of hard to explain, I guess. You just have to do it in order to feel it. Again, this path is experiential, and it is not written in stone, and everyone's experience is going to be different. When I talk about these things, I'm talking about my experiences, my working relationships, and how I've always done it. If I go to the beach,
you and I do have some different ideas about that aspect of it,
uh-huh.
Because I think that the spirits of place are not as closely, they're not as primal in my experiences. Spirits
uh-huh.
of place are not as primal as the elementals. And so I really don't share that idea that the elementals are different in the mountains than they are on the beach in Barbados. I don't know, my experience has been not necessarily that it's the same elementals that travel with me or follow me around, but my feeling with them is very much the same wherever I am.
Oh.
Now my connection to spirits of the land is very different. And I do, when I relocate, take time to develop a relationship with the spirits of place, spirits of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Usually some form of offering and saying, hey, I recognize you. You know, one way that I found very positive in that regard is beer and cornmeal. And offering of beer and cornmeal to spirits of the land, spirits of the place, has typically been a well-received offering of friendship and community with spirits of the land. But that's, you know, that is another conversation, possibly an entire another show. Returning to the elementals, they are much more, in my experience, much more primal. That is not to say primitive, but primal. They are baser in the concept that they are closer to the origin. And therefore, the energy that I feel with them is that, you know, as basic as it can get, it is a connection with the fire that is fire, the air that is air. I it's hard for me to put into words what I experience when I interact with the elements. And while it's a little bit different than what you're experiencing and expressing, this is one of those situations where we're giving two different kind of ideas, and the listener has an opportunity to realize that their experience can be yet a third thing. It doesn't have to be what either of us describes. There's not a right or a wrong. It is a different experience, and theirs could become something completely different as well. And, you know, to me, the elemental spirits are older even than the spirits of place.
I agree.
And they are more, and you know what I mean by more base, more basic,
yes.
more primal.
They're from our foundation. I mean, they were there when the Big Bang happened, and they were created as part of that. I mean, the elementals are really as fundamental, I think, is what you're trying to say, as it gets. They are the foundation of all other, all magic. They are the foundation of our lives. We cannot live without the four elements. You know, we are made of water, and we need air to breathe.
Water and earth and air to breathe and fire
to feed us,
to
keep us warm,
body.
And run the body. Combustion, it's essential to life. These are the essentials of life.
So when I'm experiencing the element, I'm experiencing like all fire that is fire, and everything that it is is experienced in that moment of connection with that elemental. And I know every elemental in that moment, every fire elemental, they're all singular and yet all one. And when I experience that, it is that feeling of total connectedness to all fire in all of its forms and all of its places. That's my experience. That's what I was trying to express. I finally got the words to come out right. Now, that's the cool thing about an experiential faith is that sometimes it's damned hard to express.
This is true.
So, anyway, this has been a fun show.
Yeah.
You know, again, more time has flown by. And we are at 9 minutes away from the top of the hour, and it's time to start wrapping up. Which is a little sad, but, you know, we got to leave them wanting more, I guess. So, my lady, would you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with us?
Well, they can get in touch with us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's our email address. And they can also get in touch with us, of course, on Facebook at Little Stonebridge Pathworking. That is the Facebook page related to Little Stonebridge email address, obviously. And they can also get in touch with us at the email address for the radio station, which I will let you tell them.
The email address, if you're trying to get in touch with us at the radio station, is sun.org@gmail.com. That is S-U-R-N, Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Get it? sun.org@gmail.com. And that's where you can send in
it.
Your letters for, you know, praise our wonderful shows or complain about us being complete idiots. Either way, you know, email us and let us know what you think. That's also a place you can, if you've got a topic that you would like for us to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've already brought up, you know, spiritual place. That might come into the schedule after we finish the series on the tarot. Toward the end of the year, we're going to be wrapping up our series on the tarot, and we'll be able to pick up some more topics then. So, now feel free to let us know what you want us to discuss. What do you want to learn about? What is it that you need? Because we are here for you. So, let's see now. Somebody can find you on Facebook at your friend's page is Robin A. McKean. And you're the only Robin A. McKean out there, which is kind of cool.
As far as I know, yeah.
Well, nobody else is using that as their name on Facebook. I, on the other hand, share my name with about three other people that are also Terry Power on Facebook. So you have to look for the one that is in North Copley, Pennsylvania. And also it says something about the Spiritual Unity Radio Network on there, and it makes it a little easier to find me. Or go to my public figure page, Rev Terry Power HP. Follow me on Twitter, at Rev Terry Power HP.
Right.
So, listen, what are some of the events that we have coming up? We're going to be traveling this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we will be June 11th. We will be in New Jersey at the Shapatu of Ishtar. Being
June 11th
held by
June 11th. You got
June 11th.
Wrong, I think.
No.
June 18th.
June, yeah, I'm sorry. June 18th. Yeah, June 18th is the Shapatu of Ishtar. June 11th is the Pittsburgh Pagan Pride.
That's right. And Caldera Fest.
Yep.
The end of this month, Memorial Day weekend, Caldera Fest. It's all getting so close. I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
Already trying to figure out how we're going to carry everything in the car. Logistics is already going on in my mind as I load master this thing and start seeing the little Tetris game I'm playing inside my head. So it's going to be a great trip. And a wonderful time. 30 artists, existing friends, making new friends, pagan Woodstock.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to miss it. Then you said June 11th you're going to be doing the Pittsburgh Pagans in the Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing an appearance there as well as teaching a workshop. We've not finalized what that's going to be yet.
Right.
But you know, whatever it is, you know we're going to speak about it with the same passion we bring to the radio station.
Absolutely.
And then the Shaputa of Ishtar and Ishtar Fest, you know, you're going to be working on the women's ritual. And then I'm going to be working with Hercules on some personal empowerment facilitation.
Yep.
We're not calling it leadership. We're calling it facilitators. So we're going to be facilitating some personal empowerment exercises. So that's going to be fun. You don't want to miss that. You can go to handsofchange.org, the website handsofchange.org, and take a look at that website, and that'll have all the information for registering for Ishtar Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And then Labor Day weekend, we're going to be at Labor Day Libertine over in Camp Midian. There's some other stuff going on. I think Hercules and Athena have an event in August that they're speaking with us about attending. And there's some other stuff going on. So if you want us to come speak at your event, you better get your get your name in the hat soon, or all the weekends that we can travel are going to fill up.
Yep,
because July,
true.
The first part of July, we're going to be busily getting married.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so 4th of July weekend is right out. We're going to be having a gathering at the mountain and doing the legal paperwork. Yeah,
and
making it official and legal and all that fun stuff. So I'm getting excited about that as well.
Yep.
So email us, littlestonebridge@gmail.com. So any final words or thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners about fire?
Really, to just reach out and listen. Fire will speak to you. You just have to be quiet and listen and pay attention.
Now, what is it I say all the time? Sit down, shut up, and listen?
Yep.
There we are.
Not to me, by the way, for anybody out there listening.
Not to you. That's the catchphrase for the show.
Yeah, I know.
And that's been a catchphrase for the show since before CERN. In my previous ramblings on another network. My listeners over there came up with the catchphrase of sit down, shut up, and listen. And Accuberry, Fasserent, Clausi, Casserey, Extremos, Audere, that's how it is. Anyway. So that's my motto in Latin is sit down, shut up, and listen. In all things dealing with deity.
Yeah.
My lady is absolutely correct. If we stop talking, we'll be able to hear them. And with that, wise words from my lady, I wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.